All right, Eden, so we're here. Been talking about doing this for a while, you know, on Reptiles Radio. How you been?
Good, good. Start to a new era.
You know, I feel like with everything that's going on in the world that we need to kind of put more content out there and keep people busy. You know, a lot of people are at home right now, self-isolating.
Give them something to listen to.
So how's life? What are you doing? You still at work?
Yep, still working.
What do you do for work?
I'm a butcher. To
something. You're a butcher?
Butcher.
Cool, where at?
So yeah, still at work for the meantime until it gets a bit more full on, but who knows what's going to happen.
So have you guys put any systems or processes in place considering all this coronavirus stuff, or what's the go with you guys?
We have. We've started wearing masks at work and lots of hand sanitizer.
Yeah, okay,
Yeah, not as much variety of meat because everyone's just going crazy. We can't.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Can't keep up with everything, but yeah, we're pulling along. Just got to keep going with it, I guess. See what happens over the next few weeks. It's all a bit.
Well, that's it, mate. You know, I'm in real estate, so for us, obviously, the open homes and auctions and all that's changed. But, you know, yeah, the way the internet is now, obviously, we're here. Things are changing, so it'll be interesting times ahead, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But
yes.
How's everything else? Good? How are the snakes?
Good. Just coming up to cooling now.
How good is it?
Finished feeding all the adults for the...
You done already?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
As of last night?
Yeah, I'm still a couple of days away, plus I've got a couple of girls that I'll keep pumping along. But, mate, we'll start with something. So, how'd you get started in reptiles?
All right, so... Six years ago, I bought my first children's python.
Yeah, okay. Do you remember who off?
Jeremy Noble.
Oh, Jezza. Reptiles Down Under. Little plug there for him.
Yeah.
Good bloke, Jezza.
So that's where it started at all. Kept that in a little click-clack setup for the first 6 months or so, and then moved it up to a reptile one of those wooden bloody things.
Yeah, okay. Getcha, yeah.
Then...
Just the normal children's?
Yeah, just... Pure wild type. When I started earning a little bit more money through work, I got a bit more into it.
Yeah, okay.
Building it up slowly.
Is that when you bought a couple of stuff off me?
That was.
A couple of Zebs, Wheaties.
A few nice weight belts that I still have to this day. Yeah, and it's just sort of snowballed from there, I guess.
Okay.
Grown by the year.
So you're a bit like me, I mean...
Yeah.
So for me, I started at 6 years old. My dad gifted me a green tree snake. Out of everything, a green tree snake. I remember I kept it in a hexagon tank with a wooden lid and caught skinks for it. And I mean,
how'd that go for you?
It was good until it got out. But I mean, as everyone evolved from there, as you said, you started with one children's. I mean, mine's a bit different. As I started with a green tree snake, it was probably wild caught, but from there on, for me, it was going out and catching diamonds. Back then, I didn't know much. I was a young kid, just following my dad's lead, and you know, a couple of diamonds, a couple of off license spotted, and I remember we kept probably about two or three diamonds, a huge coastal, and a male spotted python in about a 5 or 6 foot square, huge display enclosure. Cohabiting at its finest.
So what year did you do your first breeding? How old were you when you paired your first snakes, and what were they?
So my first breeding would have probably, I think it was Womers, a few years ago when I was still at Top End Pythons. They helped me out heaps and got a clutch of Womers out.
Nice.
They're a good first snake to breed, and obviously between now and then there's been a lot of extras.
Yeah.
I think when I transitioned from that huge display enclosure into properly the more breeding side of things, my dad's friend from high school, Justin Delaney, doesn't keep reptiles anymore, but a lot of you know him. He showed me his Womers. He had Tanami and Topaz, and when that Womers were still getting $2,000 each back then, and he had Pink Amia and Scrub Pythons, and I remember he showed me a Hatchie Scrub Python, and its huge head and eyes, I was just memorized. rat breeding setup, and from then on, I was hooked. I mean... He put me on Aussie Pythons and Snakes, Reptiles Down Under, all the classifieds pages, and every day I was on there.
Yeah.
So from there, like you, from there it just transitioned.
Yeah.
You know, kept a couple of things here and there, but so after your first children's, what did you keep? I mean,
so
you
got a children's
and then
yeah,
what?
Mainly Antaresia for the most part. I kept a few carpets here and there, okay. But
Why'd you go to Antaresia?
There's always been something about them.
They're like, cool snakes, aren't they? I mean, the fact that you can keep an adult in a 3-foot tank.
That's right. And the carpets are doable, but at the end of the day, they require a lot more food and pumping to get up to size for breeding and that sort of thing. So there's always been something about the ants that have just drawn me back to them. So that's where my main focus is these days.
I mean, we're sitting in one of the snake rooms here at our place, and we've probably got about 50 breeder ants in here between males and females, and they're all kept in rack systems. I mean,
yep,
if we were to keep carpets, we'd be able to fit about 8 in here.
Yeah, that's it, for sure.
But, so what does your collection consist of these days?
So mainly stimmies and children, so I've never kept a Mac to this day. We'll see what happens
come
later.
Come to the dark
on.
Side soon.
Yeah, we'll see what happens later on this year. So mainly focusing on the marbles, the T plus stimmies, and
what line of T plus stimmies?
The ranch line.
So for those that are interested, the Colin Ray / Snake Ranch /
whatever you want to call it,
Sean Grundy line. So yep. Just to be politically right, we'll just name everyone. But so you keep those line, yep.
Yep, for the time being, we'll probably expand into a few more variants later on in the coming seasons, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, a few marbles, a few nice wild-type weedies.
Okay.
Going to try to do some cool stuff with those this season.
And they're coming from YF1 line a few years ago.
They are, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're real nice and clean, and the yellows
very
pop.
Very clean, yep.
Oh, cracking animals. I mean, that's something that I transitioned from, obviously, like we touched on before. I mean, when I bred the Womers, I think I then moved into the knobtail geckos. Kept a large collection of knobtail geckos because my stepmom didn't like snakes.
Bloody oath.
So, and then from there moved on to a couple of green tree pythons. And at this time I'm probably 15, 16 keeping greens, so it was pretty big.
What were you, the
what was that, sorry?
Youngest keeper in Australia of greens or something?
I wouldn't say that, but I was probably close to it. I don't know many 15, 16-year-olds because I don't want to give myself that name and all that label and have it overturned. I mean,
I've never heard of a 15-year-old keeping green tree pythons, but
Wait till I pop out of kid's first birthday present with a green. But from greens, I mean, I then went to stimmies, those wild pair of stimmies that were legally imported.
A fair bit with those.
Yeah, man. I produced probably, I think, 3 or 4 generations before I got out of them. But between the time I had them, I mean, you got a couple, and a few other people have got a couple, and I still have an F1 female to this day, and I've got mates that, other than you, that keep the F2s and F1s. But no, they were cracker stimmies.
Definitely.
And even then, I kept a lot. I mean, it was more local, locality specific stuff. The Brooms, Alice Springs, and. But then
it's always cool to see what you can do with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, it really took off when I kind of, some things happened, and I eventually, I think it was like paid about $3,000 for a pair of unfeeding head out Max.
Jesus.
I think I was about 17 there. I wouldn't have been 18. I just had my P's.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of money back then. I know there'd been more, but unfeeding hatchies. And then from there, it took off with the Max. I mean,
and that's where your real focus is these days with the Alb Max, and that's paid off for you over the past couple of seasons.
We're producing Alb Max that aren't kinked anymore, so that's one of the main things. I mean, hopefully we can get a couple more healthy bubs out.
Absolutely.
For me personally, these days, it's a lot of the Alb Max line producing healthy bubs. I've got a couple of the T plus, like same as you.
Yep.
We'll say the Sean Grundy, Snake Ranch, and the Colin Ray line.
Yep.
So I've got a couple of visual girls, and we've got that cracker orange male T plus that you obviously is in high demand.
Crazy, that thing.
Yeah. So also, but then obviously I've also got a little bit of extra of everything. Couple of marbles.
Yep.
Couple of.
For sure.
Couple of double genetic stuff. Couple of granites. I've also got that hyper. I don't know if it's hyper, but that weird black I don't even know what to say. That weird black line of Max that it's that produced that cracker now with the big bits of orange on it. So
I think the next a big thing over the next coming seasons will be the double recessive morphs that are going to be coming into play.
I sit here and I think about it, and you know a lot of people already worked on like the recessive stuff and getting double heads, and I was saying today even in the Platinums, like there's so much work to be done, and I know a lot of people aren't fond of crossbreeding. I mean, you look in the carpets, and my theory on it is that if you keep, if you know the percentages that you're working with, no one really does. I mean, for all we know that the Albino Max across the Stimmies in the early days, for all we know, but no, as long as as far as we're aware and what we do, and we keep the percentages written down. I mean, for me, the last 6 months I've transitioned to every single snake, I'm keeping back for the, I know the line, I know the age, I know the year it was born, and I know exactly what's in it. So God forbid if something happened to me that someone could fill in. But I mean, you look at the carpets, like I said, and as long as you really
You look at what's happened with those over the years, people don't even. People are mixing anything with everything, so...
Exactly right, and I know your take on it. You and I are probably the same.
Yeah.
I think if we're doing a cross, we'll probably only do a clutch. We won't do 20 clutches of crossbreeds. We'll probably do one clutch. Not
going to let it get lost in the hobby and get out to the wrong people that aren't going to...
Aren't going to say what it is.
Yeah,
you know, that's the worst thing. Exactly right. You sell something that as it is, and then someone says it's the opposite. Yeah. And I know that's happening in the carpets, but... you keep a couple of geckos too, don't you?
I do, yes. So I've got...
They give me a bit of nightmares from when I kept them back in the day. All I think is bugs, bugs, bugs. But what do you keep?
So I've got a pair of head albino pilbs.
Yeah, okay. Pilbrensis.
Yep. Pilbrensis. And a patternless 66% head albino pilbrensis.
Yeah, how good.
As well as a double-het male, double-het patternless albino male that I'm hoping to get some stuff from later on. Whenever that may happen, we'll see how it goes.
Okay, and what's your plans with them?
Oh, nothing too major. Just sort of get a few bubs out from those guys and hold a few back, see what I can do with them. Maybe expand in the coming years.
They're pretty easy animals to keep, I mean. Yeah. Like the Antaresia, you can keep in a rack system. They don't need a lot of space. All they need is a nice hot spot and a couple of hides and lots of bugs, and they're good, eh?
Yeah, bloody oath.
I mean, ants, and especially the knobtails, they're one of those species that you can kind of keep side by side. Not obviously in the same tub. That'd be stupid, but I mean, yeah, side by side in the same racking system. I mean, we're looking in front of us and we've got...
Pretty standard.
What have we got? We've got a Vision rack here that's got V35, it's got the short V35, and then I think it's even got the V18, and then the even smaller hatchy tubs all in one setup. So, what do you keep your adult females in, tub-wise?
Geckos?
Geckos.
Yeah, so the V35s they are.
Yeah, okay.
V35s.
That's what I think back then it was too poor to keep.
Yeah.
As a 16-year-old, I was too poor to keep... geckos in Vision racks, but
they seem to do alright in those.
Do you keep them on sand or paper?
Yeah, sand. Okay. Absolutely, just a not too deep. Eventually, I will when the females become gravid. I'll give them a bit of extra depth to dig around in and whatnot. But just for the moment, about a centimetre or two of sand, and
they seem to
love it. So.
And what's your bug choice for food items for them?
At the moment, just purely crickets and the odd pinky here and there, dusted crickets.
Yeah, okay.
But, haven't really tried much on the woodies as of yet, but...
You worried about the cricket supply with everything that's going on in the world if we get shut down?
Yeah, it's a bit stressful, actually. I don't know what's going to happen if everything shuts down. I'm going to have to... try and locate someone that has some on the coast, maybe, or...
I mean, we're lucky in the way that in this hobby, we've got a lot of people that have full-time jobs that also do rodents, woodies,
absolutely,
crickets, all that sort of on the side. But as well as that, you've got a lot of businesses that do it full-time.
Yeah.
But obviously, if they shut down, they won't shut down. So
they'll still be having something going on from there.
Exactly right. And we've got a couple of mates that have woody colonies that they'd help us out. I mean, they're saying that if we do shut down... possibly up to 6 months.
Yeah, so it's pretty scary.
I mean, you and I keep everything on butcher's paper except the geckos and paper towel, but how about this paper towel shortage? I think you stocked up a couple of months ago, didn't you?
Yeah, I grabbed a good 30 rolls or so, got them stashed away.
Before it all went to shit.
But, yeah, that's not going to last forever, I guess, so.
Yeah, exactly right. So, what do you got, Brian, this year? We just want to, obviously, first podcast, you know, we just want to get a bit to know you, a bit to know me.
Bloody hell, definitely.
On Reptiles, obviously. We'll give a bit of a backstory on Unreal Reptiles.
Yeah, get so into that first, obviously, and get into pairings.
Probably when I was keeping the greens, I started up the page as Reptiles by JT, I think it was called.
Yeah.
Obviously geckos and a bit of ants, a couple of greens. So it was still early days back then, but obviously Reptiles by JT, everyone had Reptiles by something something Reptiles.
By their own initials.
I remember my best mate as well at the same time, JJ's Reptiles, yeah. Little Joshy Hatton, so good fella. But everyone thought it was Josh and Jake.
Yeah.
Everyone didn't know it was him and his mum. But nah, so then obviously I wanted to broaden my horizons, so I was thinking something, obviously, sort of when I got into the ants, I was thinking something ant-related, but...
Yep.
Obviously, if you pick an ant-related name, then you restrict yourself to ants. Exactly, so that's when, what do I want to do? I mean, I was a young kid. I wanted to produce something cool, something unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal Reptiles.
There you go.
So, I was working on Unreal Reptiles for a couple of years, just me. And then, obviously, when was it?
Probably.
You and I met probably 6 years ago, and you bought your first water. I can't remember if it was Zeb or a Weedy, but there was a couple in between.
Yeah, plenty of stuff along the way.
Because, obviously, I've kept... a bit of everything. I think I've kept everything almost except waters, so I'm waiting for Riley Seeds, if you listen to this, produce a couple to send us some down. But you know, yeah, I sold you a couple of things and over time we just become mates. And and then I think, when was it, mid last year, invited you to come along,
mid last year,
saw what you were doing with everything and we had a couple of projects together, so I thought, why not come along? And here we are now, probably a year later. We've got a snake room together.
Joint collection.
Oh, I mean, we live together for those who don't know. So yeah. It's kind of hard not to be, but it makes it easy when we tell our missus that we're keeping snakes in the living room and the outside. But so that's Unreal Reptiles. But I mean, for Unreal Reptiles, what have you got producing this year? I mean, your side of the collection.
Yeah, we're hoping to produce a few clutches of marbles. We got some...
What lines you got? So obviously, with the marbles, for those who don't know, you've obviously got the... got the white, I like to classify them, so you obviously got the white base colour, then you got the yellow base colour, then you've also got the real high peppered, then you've got the real low peppered, and then even on top of that you can add in like a different shade of black on the peppering, whether it be grey or blacks. So what are you working with?
So my first ever male I purchased off Brett Moy.
Good breeder.
Yeah, definitely.
He's known for his womers, but he's given us a run for our money on the ants these days.
Getting into the ants at the moment. So he's turned pretty dark over the 3 years I've had him. Three years or so.
He'd be about a 3 or 4 year old male this year, wouldn't
he? Yeah, he's produced 2 cracker clutches the past 2 seasons, actually. I'll give him another run this season over the head girl.
Well, obviously I know I've got a female from each clutch.
Yep. So there's been a bit of variation in the clutches, but for the most part they've ended up pretty dark for marbles.
The 2 females I got from you, I think one, the 18 month old, she's real black peppering. She's almost got a bit of a stripe down her back, just like dad. But then my female this year was like one of yours from last year. She's getting like almost a gold black on her.
Yeah, so she was the only holdback I kept back, and she's gonna have her first go up breeding this season.
Yeah, good.
We got one of the more pale, I guess you'd call it, marbles. More light in base colour.
So that's the white base colour you're talking about, yeah?
Yeah.
And what's the peppering like on her?
It's there. The tail's completely dark. But compared to the male, for instance, it's completely different.
Yeah, okay. And what's your plans with her? You're obviously going to chuck it to your black male, or you got something else in the works that you don't want to let go?
I've got a couple of little things up my sleeve. I'll have to wait and see what happens. Everyone stay tuned for that. But,
good.
We'll see what happens. It will be a marble in one way or another going over, just which marble yet depends on a few little things.
Okay.
Regardless, I think she's going to throw some crackers, so yeah, that'll be cool. So we'll probably have what do we got? Probably three marble pairings. Yep. One of those being a marble to het, the other two being marble to marble.
Oh, will they now?
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows?
maybe some interesting double recessive stuff. We'll see what happens.
Oh, man, it's still early days.
Yeah.
We've got a bit to sort out, but what else you got? Obviously, you got so you got those marbles. So you got a couple of visual girls. Any het girls, mate?
Yeah, we got the one het marble girl, my original girl.
Yeah, so you got a couple of marbles going. That'd be good.
Yep. Then we're my big main focus is the T plus stimmies, obviously.
Snake wrench line again.
Wrench line. Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
the more orange line, yellow line, the cleaner line.
Yeah, so we've got
just so everyone knows we're not biased. The Dave Evans line, the WA line, is absolute crackers. We don't have any preference. But I say the more orange line. They're each got their own characteristics that make them amazing. But we just call the Snake Ranch Colin Ray line a little bit more clean and orange. So
yeah. For sure.
So what else you got? Line of stimmies?
We got that line of T plus stimmies, so that'll be one T plus male going over three girls. We've got 2 100% hets and one possible het female that will be her first season breeding.
Awesome. I remember those girls.
Yeah, from Josh Hatton.
Yeah.
JJ's Reptiles. Joshies.
I don't think he even uses the page anymore. He's too busy with his herping and Ozu and stuff, but playing with the Crocs. But no, man, I remember those snakes produced, like, because obviously when Josh went overseas, I looked after a lot of his collection. I think one of your visual male that you've got out, I think I got a feeding for him. But correct me if I'm wrong, Josh, but that female of yours, I remember she's obviously no one knows the original breeders, the exact locality, but your female was from a wheat belt pairing. She's got a real nice striping. And then your posset was a cracker as well, real reduced pattern. But you've shown me since how big they are, and they're very big.
Yeah, animals. They're probably pushing close to a kilo for the 100% hets.
And your other het girl you've got, obviously, that was also same line, but From memory, if I'm not wrong, I think that was like a weedy cross broom pairing, with the T plus influence, obviously.
Yeah, so that was brought in from Guy Hutchings, that one.
Okay, and his line obviously also came from the Snake Ranch line.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. I remember back when I was at the ranch, the idea of chucking the T plus to the brooms was the brooms at the time had the bigger nice clutches.
Big monster. Monster babies.
So the brooms, they had 20 plus eggs every clutch.
And I remember your original broom girl. What did she lay in that season?
That original, I remember me and Josh, we ended up getting a couple of normal brooms from Cindy Jackson. And they, my broom girl, I think one produced 22 and the other produced 18. Yeah, wow. And one was a reduced. I wish I never sold them, to be completely honest. They were just normal brooms, but far out. The reduced pattern, I think.
There's something about them they get.
Can't remember who got the reduced pattern girl, but she was a cracker. I ought to get some bubs off him, I think. But
yeah.
So you got your T plus. Anything else?
We got a weedy pairing that we'll be doing. So that's pretty much gonna.
So you just got normal weedy to weedy.
Yeah, it'll be a wild type, a nice tricolour.
Okay.
Male going over a.
What do you know the lineage of the?
It is originally from Matthew Gordon Harris, that male.
He's got some cracker stuff.
Probably WA. Probably some of the nicest wheat belts in Australia, hands down.
Sorry, I don't breed stimmies anymore. I'll let him have that.
over a female that's, I wouldn't call her full on tricolour, but she's got something going
she's
on.
She's clean.
There, so she's, very clean.
So for weedies, I mean, when I was breeding weedies, I remember you're looking for two things. You're looking how clean they are, and obviously for tricolours and colours.
Absolutely.
Now, obviously, you can't know how clean they are until they have their first. I mean, you can get an eye for it eventually after you hold back a couple, but I mean, you just kind of look at that base colour and see how much dirtiness comes through. I mean, some people like it, some people don't mind it, but obviously, for us, especially polygenic, I mean, you could always chuck the your weedy female over at T Plus and make more hats and try and chase the money, but you're more,
well, yeah.
You like you said, you're a butcher earlier, so you're more doing this for a hobby, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I like the idea of line breeding, things like polygenics and that sort of thing. I'm hoping to get, my end goal is to have some super reduced T-plus stuff and some striped T-plus stuff, if I can get to that. Out of last season's clutch of T-plus, there was one female that came out with noticeable striping compared to everything else.
So you say you want striped T-plus, how are you going to do that? Obviously, we'll do another episode if people want us, but I mean, we'll do another episode on how selective breeding and all that, but just a quick brief, how do you think you're going to get the striped T-plus?
Oh, well, my het female's got some striping down her spine. I was hoping to get a few more out than I did of the striped bubs, but
yeah, because that weedy het's a cracker.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, at the end of the day, it's just the neck that's showing the striping, so it might take a couple of generations.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'll hold this female back.
So you got the one visual female?
Yes.
That was stripy? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I'll hold her back till next season. I'll have her ready to go next season and put my boy over her and see what happens from that. And
Any het babies that were any bit striped or reduced pattern or?
Oh, I wouldn't, not striped. I got some nice sort of tricolored heads. I'll keep probably one female back and put the male over her, the visual male over her.
What's your male look like?
He's not nowhere near on your male's level.
Oh, I'm not making this a competition, but like as far as the pattern's concerned,
yeah, he's pretty one of the more standard, pretty standard sort of looking, I guess you'd call it weedy-ish looking.
So he's clean.
Yeah, he's clean. Is he
yellow? So he's a clean yellow T plus. He's showing weedy influences and he's nice and clean with his patterns and his
definitely.
But he's coming from more the yellow side.
Yeah. So
how good?
So I think with a few years, a couple of generations with that, we can definitely improve it and make some crackers with that. But and then I'll eventually work in some New South Wales reduced blood, and I guess the end goal is to have like a completely patternless T plus, but that's probably a few years off. But that's one of my big goals. So we'll see what happens there.
Faye's got the patternless children's, and they're crackers. But I mean, we're still years. So Birchie's probably 100 years ahead of everyone as far as his starburst dimmies and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
You and I combined both have some. Yellow stimmy line stuff.
I guess we've got a bit
real
of
reduced pattern. I mean,
a few different variants of the
we
T
haven't
plus.
Worked it into the T plus yet, but it's still early days. I mean, we could do it and we could get some more reduced pattern, or we could do it and we could start a base one, I could say, you know.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So, anything else brand this year other than your T pluses and your Wheaties or?
Oh, no, that is it for the most part for me. I know you've got a big season planned.
You know, with all this stuff going on in the world, I was hoping for a big year, but right now I'm sitting back and thinking, you know, what if I have a big year? If I do, if I don't, I don't.
Whatever happens, happens, I guess.
I mean, as we said earlier, my main thing's the Alb Max, so
yeah, trying to get
this year
as
I'm more
as you can.
This year I'm honing in on last season I chucked both visual males I had over all the het girls. Just did them on a rotation basis.
Yep.
This year I'm putting selected males, selected females, and vice versa. I've got a couple of het boys as well that I'm chucking to a couple of girls. So, although I won't have many pos hets clutches out, like het to het, I will be doing a couple.
You always got to have a couple.
The issue people have is that they're getting albinos that are from. I'm no geneticist. I don't know what I'm talking about, really. I'm talking full backyard breeding, you know what I mean? So don't take what I say as gospel. But what I found is that people are taking the early generation albinos and they're putting it with hets that have been outcrossed.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they're just taking it back to the start because exactly they're putting right. it with an early produced Albino. So,
whereas you look at what you've done over the past.
So yeah, and both the male albums I'm working with this year, both are outcrossed.
Yeah.
A lot of the hets that I'm working with as well. There's a couple of original Snake Ranch girls, but I mean they're going to hets.
Yeah.
So the couple of het girls that I've got that are outcrossed are going to go with the unrelated outcrossed male.
For sure.
And vice versa. So that's the AB line. I mean, there's quite a few pairings there. A couple of AB girls. I mean, I cracked the myth last year that a lot of AB girls are infertile. I got an AB girl to produce a healthy clutch of, I think I was it was there six.
The night she laid, and that was a sight to see.
Yeah, a few babies came out nice and well, but I mean, what's the missus saying? She's putting notes under the door to try and get us. She goes, how good? Just a couple of notes. For those that don't know, Eden and I are both in serious relationships, and the downside is that they're actually cousins. So, but nah, they're very supportive. But yeah, so other than the Albino Max and me, I've got a couple of other cool pairings going on.
Little things up your sleeve.
I mean, the Black Mac line, I'll call it Black Mac, but...
That's just a little nickname you've given to them, I
guess. I've given the nickname from the fact of the original female, but the results have shown the complete opposite. I mean...
Well, yeah, last season, they threw some
interesting things. I'll go into it. Hopefully this season I'll be able to show a little bit more for the project, but I'm really stumped. I mean, I produced a clutch from the Black Mac, just so with a het male, and paired her some with her, and you'd think that if she was a black and it was recessive, that half of them would be black and half of them wouldn't, but... The whole clutch came out of a mixed bag.
Absolutely.
I got more results from a son to a daughter. Mm. I mean, in that one clutch, I produced three. It was a Black Mac son to Black Mac daughter. They were both 50% het out, they were pos hets. And pairing them together, they both proved out to be het, which was a bloody good lottery. I was shocked. Out of the clutch, I produced two normals. I produced one that was like a hypo tricolour.
Oh,
you've seen that. That was absolutely ridiculous. That blew ridiculous. My mind,
that thing.
I produced a normal AB, and then I produced an AB that a few of you have seen. I've posted around a bit, bragging about it. It's almost a... What'd you say? It's not a sun glow, but...
It's almost...
I don't know. It's
nothing like I've ever seen in an Albino Mac.
The oranges in it, let's just say, there was an Alb Mac that was cruising around a couple of years ago that did show the same orange as a Hatchie, but it passed away in early days of the Mac gene. But this female, she's smashing food.
You put that one compared to everything else you produced Alb Mac-wise this season, and
I produced another 10 to 15 AB Max, and you know what I mean? It doesn't compare to any single one of them.
Yeah, no.
So,
it's got to be something going on there.
It really gives me no idea of what's going on with the project. So, I'm looking at either a Black Mac, like a Hyper, or obviously with the light males that came out with the tricolor, I'm almost looking at a Hypo.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it. I don't know.
It's crazy.
It could be just a polygenic thing. It could just be some nice Albinos. At the end of the day, I look at it as it's outcrossing the Albino line, because obviously that original pairing was a 100% het male to the Black Mac. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not too sure what's going on with the project, but still early days. Worst comes to worst, it's just a really nice outcross line.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens this season with it, and hopefully we can get some more clear results from it. And
all right, so we're back. We got a quick drink break. We'll see. What's your drink of choice?
Oh, the Beamers, Jim Beam.
Same as me, bourbon and... What do you got, bourbon and Coke?
Bourbon and Coke.
So I'm on the health kick of bourbon, Pepsi Max. vanilla. You gotta remember vanilla. Look, a quick point when I was getting a drink, I just want to put it out there that we're not stepping on anyone's toes by doing this. Obviously, you got the likes of Troy K.
Yep.
And Wayne. They've started doing their podcast / YouTube again. And obviously, you got Maney's.
Yeah,
Carpet Pythons. You're doing the Carpet Pythons TV. And I mean, I can't recommend them enough. But I mean, awesome. I sit here and I've sitted here for years being an Antaresia guy thinking there's not enough.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, a lot of stuff with like Manies, he does a lot of carpet pythons. He had KHP last week.
Yep.
Little plug for them. I mean, they do a lot of carpet. Yeah, they talk about ants, but.
A little bit. Not enough.
I mean, no one does ants. You know, even the Morelia Python radio guys, that they do all carpet. They do a couple of ants and they try and change it up, but not enough Antaresia. So, I mean.
Be cool to get a platform out
there.
Specifically for, well, you call it 90% at least for Antaresia and. Anyone that wants to jump on board eventually, we can hopefully get a bit more into it. And
I mean, it's been years since I kept a carpet.
Yeah.
But you keep geckos, I keep a gecko. I've got mates to keep geckos. I've got olives, I've got a scrubby, I've got a woma. I've got a couple of different things. We've kept everything in the past, so we know about it all. And we will keep everyone up to date on the news. But I just wanted to put it out there. We're not trying to step on anyone's toes. We're just trying to hit a different avenue of people. I know that right now a lot of people have lost their jobs. You and I are quite lucky in the way that we haven't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I know a lot of people lost their jobs and are pretty down about it. But so if we can put something out there for them to listen to.
Bit of entertainment.
You know, I mean, we're not the most educated people. As I said earlier, we're no geneticists.
No, absolutely not.
We're just some backyard breeders that are giving it a crack.
Yeah.
But where was I starting off earlier? I mean, I was talking about my black hyperline, whatever it may be. So from moving on from last season, I got a couple more females that I'm adding to the project. There's a couple of younger females. Say
last season was probably your first season where you've really seen the results that you need to see with them to sort of get an idea of what's exactly going on with them.
Well, I mean, so I bred three sisters and the mum to the son. I had two females that weren't quite up to size, so I didn't even try them. They're up to size this year. One of the females is an absolute cracker. She's almost tricolour.
Yeah.
You've seen her, absolutely. And she's absolutely ridiculous. So I'm expecting big things from her, but as well as that, I've kept the both through. I mean, one of the females slugged out. I put it down to her being the first person that the first snake that the male went to, and he just wasn't cool properly, but he wasn't into the rhythm. But I've kept the other three clutches back, and ridiculous, out of the three clutches, I've only got three females.
Yeah.
And God, in the alb as well, you got fourth.
The variation you got in the max last season was just incredible.
But I mean, even touching back on the abs, I mean, what I produced in the abs last season was spectacular. I mean, you had some of those ones that I produced, like some of the original ones I produced from my Cape York Outcross line, where you had the yellow base and the purple to lavender background, the patches, sorry. This season I produced. Some of you would have seen it. Snow looking ones. I had that out from the black line. I had almost a tricolour, you know, the yellow base, the lavender end, as well as that orange dots.
Everything in between.
So that's where I'm going with the albs. The alb line, I'm going to say alb line because the hypers fit into it. But like you, I've also got the T plus dimmies.
Yeah.
The Snake Ranch ray line.
So what are your major goals in your head for the next three seasons?
I mean, with what? With the albs or the hypers or the T plus?
Yeah, well, I guess you'd say the Black Mac line. What's your?
So the Black Mac line, the main thing is I want to be able to know what's going on with it. That's the first thing, as anyone would when they're producing some cracker animals. And secondly, you know, what if it isn't anything? I'm happy with that. I've done it.
Yeah, still the animals they're throwing are worth.
They're crackers again. So
worth it even in the.
For me, it's just producing more of those albinos that have got the real high orange. It's just producing something different. If I can sit there and say to someone, I've got three different albinos, one with high orange, one with high yellow, one with the both.
Shit.
Well, you can't go wrong, you know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, yes, it's good that the snakes pay for themselves sometimes, everyone knows, but as much as work you put in, you're never going to get what you put in back out.
You've got to have the love and passion.
So, I mean, as well as that, with the Max this year, I'm going to obviously. I've got one of Birchie's Striped Mac line. So I want to put that. Do a couple of outcross. But every year I like doing a couple of head-to-heads. I like doing albs-to-heads. And last year I did alb-to-alb. The male didn't get to it. This year I'll do alb-to-alb again. Just to see how it goes. I mean, like I said, my interest is for the money. I'm into to see what I can do.
Definitely.
And see how far the genes come.
You can't really be in it for the money, I guess. If that's all you're in it for, then you're going to get let down pretty quickly.
I think every snake breeder's jumped in and thought they'd make $1 million, and then they tried and then they didn't, and then they sold it off. But yeah. We weed them out pretty quickly.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
A lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people know, I love keeping poss hats, especially ones that I produce, because I know they're actual poss hats. Last season, every season I keep back some poss hats and produce them, as you've seen some of the poss hats I produced last season, some 66 blondes.
Yep.
Some cracker blondes. I mean,
sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're not exactly lucky, but regardless, you're still...
It makes it exciting. You put that to an AUB, you cut the clutch, I mean, you're either going to get AUBs or you're not going to get AUBs.
Yeah.
So, I say you put it to an AUB because my second season of doing head-to-head, I remember the first season I did head-to-head, I got 9 eggs and got 3 AUBs out.
Yeah.
The second season, I got 12 eggs and didn't get a single AUB.
Didn't get one out, I remember that.
And it wasn't the fact of that they died in the egg, it was the fact of just didn't get any AUBs. It was just the luck of the draw.
Unlucky odds that season, but
I mean, it's just what it is.
It's all part of the parcel, I guess.
But that's what happens when you work with recessive genes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, we want to get the website up and going, which will obviously give a little bit more insight to our projects. But with the AUB line, I also want to cross in the granites. I know it's been done, it's tried. People say the double visuals are weak animals. I mean, you get a nice... A nice strong line of granites, you get a nice strong line of AUBs. I can't see why you can't work it in.
Yeah.
I'll talk
everything,
Mac.
Everything takes time, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'll talk Mac line as well. I mean, I've got a couple of platinums here as well.
Yeah.
Platinum granites. Mitch Daly, he produced an absolute cracker. Oh,
stunners.
I think he produced two of them almost. I don't know if they A or
they were something else.
B grade, but those granites were crazy. But I mean, producing albino granites would be something cool.
Definitely.
It would be good to have. As a lot of people know from the tarbles, you can work a lot with double visual animals.
Sort of the tip of the iceberg, I guess.
Oh, I mean, you can put it to anything.
Yeah.
So, especially when we said earlier, if you're just doing a clutch or two of our of crossbreeds, I wouldn't even say crossbreeds, more interspecies breed, but. What else, Max, stuff have we got? Like I said, stripe into the AUBs. Birchie's done it. He produced a cracker, but I mean, it's always good. It's just an outcross. Into
even
the
your
platinums.
Your original, Mac, for instance, she's a
beast
of a spotted.
I mean, I've got a 13-year-old spotted Snake Ranch, young to most people. She's probably almost at 1.5-2 kilos, not being pumped or anything, but just an absolute beast of a spotted, and just putting AUBs and granites to her every year, and just not every year, every probably third year, I rest every third or second year, depends how she recovers, but putting her to an AUB or a granite and just outcrossing, just makes for some nice big strong snakes. I mean, the first het pair I got were, I did the maths the other day. They were 10th generation Cape York outcrosses.
Yeah.
And a lot of those don't know the Cape York Blondes line of spotteds. They're absolute behemoth snakes. They're 5-6 foot snakes that at adult easily hit over 1 kilo. So my original het girl, she's sitting at probably 1.2 kilo. And ever since she laid her clutch last season, I've been cruising her along, and it's only probably the last month that I've stepped it up for her.
Yeah.
And she's just put on weight like no tomorrow. And I mean, even the 18-month-old snakes, we don't power feed here. We feed them appropriately, we think. But every time we open a tub, they're trying to strike our face. But even the 18-month-old poss hets and hets from that line, they at 18 months old, they're four or five hundred grams.
You're looking at
They're 400-500 grams, and you don't even need to pump them. So, a lot of people in Cape York Blondes, Ultimate Blondes, I've got a couple of them sitting there. They're all from the same line, but I mean, even this year, they're not going to be put with the same line. They're going to be put with another male that's been outcrossed from a breeder in Queensland that's done another 3-4 generations of outcrossing.
Yeah. No, for sure.
So, I think that's a lot with the Max. I mean, that's really it for the Max. Just a lot of AUBs and couple of cool different stuff. I mean, in the next couple of years, I'd like to see albino marbles. That'd be something pretty cool. Especially if you get an albino, especially if the marble in it is what we've got, which is the high peppering.
Yep.
I can't imagine what a black pepper would be as albino. I'd imagine it would be like the lava bluey, where it would be orange dots.
Orangey.
So that'd be pretty cool, especially. So I'd imagine you'd have to your marble you'd have to use on the original pairing would have to be a high peppered, yep. which would be pretty cool. But as I said, we'd only ever do one or two pairings, and we'd keep the percentages written down and
so we can
clear, and we'd tell everyone up front. Absolutely. But I mean, them in that, also the Albino Platinums, I'm sure people are working on it. I don't have enough experience with Platinums. I mean, it's something relatively new that I'm working with.
Yeah.
So there's no, not saying that I'm going to be the first person to produce that, but it'd be awesome to see a Platinum.
Yeah, well, it's something to think about for the different next tones, coming seasons.
Albino Jeans still in the max isn't new, but producing viable offspring's new. So there's still so much to work with as far as tri-colour, different tones, yeah. different colour pattern, all that sort of stuff. So it's still real fun days ahead.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I mean, other than the Max, I've got a couple of Stimmies going, similar to you.
Yeah, you've still got your original, I think, what is it, have you got a pair of your original F1 Wheaties, or have you...
So, yeah, I've got a female F1 Wheatie from my line that I've... Yep. imported in. She's a cracker, a bit different to yours is a bit more tri-color. My girl's just
clean,
complete and utter clean, nothing in her.
Yeah.
She'll be going with that that orange T plus boy in hopes to produce some real nice clean T plus
high percentage weedy.
Yeah, yes. Exactly right. And then I mean, my T plus line that I've got, I think I the T plus, I don't want to go into the T plus story maybe for another time if someone asks, but my T plus I got from Sean Grundy.
Yeah.
He was one of him and Colin Ray at the same time, early days before even the ranch got it. They produced some of the first ones. So my orange male I got was from him, and also got a female visual from him.
And this, that thing's just like, it pops. It's like nothing else compared to lot of the T plus you see around. It's completely, I don't know, you'd have to go check out Unreal Reptiles, the page, and have a look at...
Little plug.
You'll know which one it is.
I mean, yeah, the male is ridiculous. He's got your orange base colour with... What would you even call him? I mean, he's just next level. He shed the other day, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at him right now. He's more... Yeah, so he's got your cream background with your orange pattern, and his entire pattern is clean. He doesn't have any muddying through it.
But there's so much variation within the T plus Stimmies. Like, you look at some of them and they've got the more...
So between Eden and I, he's got his male, I've got my male. And I've got a visual... got three visual girls. So between all five of those animals... Five.
Yeah.
So you've got the yellow male, I've got the orange male. Between the females that I've got an orange female that again is different to yours because she's more of a cream pattern but orange base. And the two other females, I've got one that's a striped, reduced pattern.
Yeah.
Which is, again, a different yellow, but it's still yellow. And the other girl's like just a nice, clean T+.
Yeah, and we're only sort of scratching the surface.
The tip of the iceberg.
With what we've done with them anyway, so it's probably going to take a little bit of time to see what more comes from it, but I reckon we're going to...
Well, this season...
cool stuff hiding underneath there.
Yeah, this season I'll be producing, obviously, T+ to T+ for a couple of clutches.
Yeah.
I'll also be doing the T+ to Weedy, I want to do a Tibibara across a Weedy, just doing our cross. I did it last season, and every single hatchy first feed except one.
That's ate. Crazy.
And the babies are ridiculous. I mean, like Eden said, getting a reduced pattern Weedy would be reduced pattern T+ would be the ultimate, especially if you get to the point where it's patternless. And I mean, that's going to come into it when we cross it with the not even cross it. We breed it to the reduced pattern yellow line we have.
Some of your original.
But it's still early days, so that's the T+ stimulus. You're doing the Wheaties. I'm kind of off the not off the Wheaties, but I'm just happy to stick to Michael Hets. I kept a pair of Hets from last season. They were from a dirty Wheaty, but she was real nice, thick banded. If you remember her,
yeah, I do.
But other than that, I mean, I'll be also doing a couple of children. Actually, no, back on the Stimmies. I mean, we kind of forgot about it. Wait a second, just getting text messages through the roof. Yeah, so we're back, yeah. The T+ Stimmies will be crackers. We've also got some here that we're lucky enough to get a hold of that are actually 100% het for the WA line, so Dave Evans line.
Yeah.
And they're also 50% het for the Snake Ranch line.
So that's pretty...
pretty crazy.
Yeah. Start talking a bit.
All right. So, again, we're back. Very busy night. Phones have gone off. I mean, surprisingly, even though everything that's going on in the world, we're still getting a couple of people interested in snakes. So, it's good. It's good.
More snakes than ever.
But, yeah, so where were we? We got the 100% het, the WA line, plus some pos het, SR, SR slash Colin Ray line. Yep. I mean, I know Colin's got double hets from that might be up to size this year. I'm not too sure. It's
probably a handful of people.
Yeah, I'd say there's a couple of people handful this year. But yep, if you ask my opinion, I mean, I reckon the WA line isn't T plus. I mean, a lot of them have black or different colour eyes. We know that the Snake Ranch, Sean Grundy, Colin Ray line.
Yep.
Colin put it to a T plus. I put it to a T plus. Children's, and they're compatible.
Yep.
So you're confident saying it's a T plus Children's, it's a T plus Stimmy. There's no T plus Max yet. Maybe one day. But as far as the WA head T plus line that Dave's worked with,
there's something else going on.
There's something else going on.
Who knows what it could be?
Yeah, I've been throwing ideas out there. Stuff that we do know. There's thousands of morphs in ball pythons. We don't know. So it's pretty cool that we got some possible double hets there.
Yeah.
In the Stimmies. I've got a couple of girls, a couple of boys. I'm going to be interesting this year. They're a little bit small, but I reckon I'll be able to get them up to size just in time. I like to breed a little bit bigger than most for minimum breeding size, just so they're a bit better. But,
for sure, for sure.
And this year I'll be also breeding the Children's.
Yep.
So I've got a T-plus het marble male.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of het tarbles there. I mean, when the tarbles first come out, I was still focusing on the Max and some other stuff. So, I mean, I didn't get into them as much as others. But they're cool snakes. I like the tarbles.
Even to produce one this season would be cool. It's.
I mean, the possibility is there. The first season that I actually saw a tarble, I wasn't impressed. Like, not impressed, but I wasn't wowed.
It's nothing to it, yeah.
It wasn't as good as I thought. And then as they grow up, you go, fuck, they're cool snakes, excuse the language. But as far as the pinnacle for Antaresia breeding, I wouldn't say they're it. But they're an awesome snake, and they're an also awesome combo, and they're an also combo animal to work with. So I've got a couple of those pairings, and I think that really tops it off for my breeding season. So only a couple, I think there's four or five projects in total there.
For this,
as I said to you, the stuff we probably need to do a little bit more work with is the Children's. The T plus and the Abs have pretty much said on what we want. Yep. We know what we're doing there, but the Children's are still a little bit not lost. You had the T plus Children's that are also Paradox line.
Yeah.
Which again, it's something that we don't do enough of, but we probably should. I mean, we can't focus on everything, but as well as that, we also, I mean,
are you hoping to get into the geckos a little bit over the next
I do have a gecko. I mean, we got one, me and the, it's actually the girlfriend's gecko. She's got a head owl pilbrensis, you and I both have a couple of mates in the hobby. They keep a couple of different geckos. Hopefully he'll be nice enough to bring one of his albs up. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't too keen on the alb knob tails, saying they're weak. But again, like the alb max, only reason I got the alb max is one, because they're awesome snake, and two, people said it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
So why not? And then the same as the pilks. I mean, if we get some out, we get some out. We don't. Keep all the babies anyway. I mean, got, what do we got now? Fish, frogs, rabbits. We got everything now. And now geckos too. So they're pretty cool. Like I said, I used to keep them years ago, bred them in the probably 100
year. Yeah, you went through a big phase of the geckos there for a while.
But I mean, it's funny, the hobby has highs and lows.
It does.
You have big years of snakes. I mean, when I say, that's too broad. I mean, you have big years of carpets, you have big years of ants, you have big years of blueies. The blueies have been in hot the last few years.
Yeah.
The year that I actually got out of geckos is when it was in the real big stage, you know, and then
over the past sort of 3 years, there's been a lot of super, super cool animals that have come out, especially from like Joe Ball's place.
Yeah, I mean, the blue tongue's there. I mean, even back on geckos, Garner geckos, Greg Carter.
Yeah.
He's fucking, man, I don't know if you've seen his stuff. He's got some cracker animals. Yeah. Pretty sure they're just Levis and Pilbrensis, but still cracker geckos. I know that the knobs, I don't know what happened to knobs. Retail guys, we shouldn't touch on them, but
yeah.
but yeah, man, I'm excited to see where the geckos are going. Like I said, just a couple of pairs. I'm not into it for anything other than just to produce some cute little geckos. See what
we can get out from here.
And I'll mind you, I prefer to feed crickets and occasionally a pinky for the females.
Yeah.
But even back on what we should do more of, I think that the T plus stimuli you want to work on.
That's going to be my main goal with the marbles as well. I know they're. A lot of people breed marbles these days, but if you can really refine it to the sort of stuff you're aiming to, your end goal with them, if you can work that out, then that's the way to go.
Yeah, that reduced pattern yellow Stimson line that we established and you're working with now, that'd be crap.
Got a couple of those, so we'll see what happens.
You think that's the best option to go down the reduced pattern, patternless line? You reckon that way,
For the T-plus, I think that's where I'll start with them.
What do you think you might go somewhere else? Is there some other lines that you might not cross with? Anything you got your eyes on?
Not particularly.
So your reduced pattern, the yellow
stuff. There is a few guys out there even, producing some cracker reduced stimmy stuff, which is some of my favorite stuff.
What's that? Peter got Peter Street. What's that,
he produced cracker? a couple of crackers.
That Springs or Broom? Or am I completely off?
I think
off?
It's Windora Cross Alice.
Yeah, how good's that? I know he likes Alice. He asked me ages for Alice. Alice, I've actually got I don't know if anyone else has, but I found that Alice Springs stimmies have keel scales. Like, they got rough.
Yeah, they do. I've seen rougher. Some of Pete's stuff's crazy.
But he's a good bloke.
Yeah, he's a legend.
But, well, maybe we've given everyone a bit too much on the inside of what we've got planned this year, but hopefully we can. I mean, it depends on the interest we get in the podcast.
Yeah,
we reckon. Absolutely. I mean, I'd love to be able to talk more Antresia and do a breeding episode.
See what people out there want to hear from us.
If we can get enough popularity and people want to send some questions in, then that'd be awesome. But
for sure.
I mean, another quick one for us to touch on tonight. I mean, it's just around the corner. You said that you've done your last feed. You're about to start cooling.
Yep.
What's your opinion on this coronavirus and how do you reckon it will affect the sales of reptiles? Well, I mean, it's on everyone's mind. The carpet python page covered it the other day perfectly. Yeah. But, and even the Troy K and Wayne. But what do you reckon? I mean, I've got a couple of theories.
Yeah, well, as you know, we've sort of planned out our pairings for this season. And
I still stand on that, actually. Every pairing I've done this year, maybe by two. I'm happy to still go ahead with just because I just want to.
No, that's right.
I need those animals to move forward.
Keep going. Yeah, you got to keep the ball rolling.
What did we keep this year? 50 holdbacks out of all the air. I know it's not many compared to others, but probably 50. 50 for me. And what do you got? About 15 holdbacks this year?
Yeah, I'd say about that.
So out of those, I've got a fair few pairings that I want to produce some young that I need for future projects.
You have to. That's the only way to move forward. I guess you got to. If you want to do it the way I want to do it, and. Breed your own stuff and move forward with stuff that you bred yourself and really get those end goals, then I guess that's the way to do it. So,
I said that A to someone, I'll breed all the pairings without a plan, but if something doesn't go, I won't be too concerned. Unless, I mean, it's a pinnacle of my season.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm still locked onto doing the breedings the pairings I had planned for this season, so. So we'll do that and just hope for the best, I guess.
And what are your thoughts? Do you reckon people still buy it? Obviously, you'll have a couple of excess offspring. You can think people.
I don't know if people. It depends. All depends what happens with the government, etc. Like if
I mean, it's too political to talk about.
Yeah,
for us,
it is.
We can have our opinion, but
absolutely. But if people are still getting some sort of money coming in, and their absolute worst case scenario, trapped at home, and they're into their snakes, you never know. Like. What could happen? I guess they want to keep stuff interesting for themselves. They might be buying more snakes. They might not be. It just depends on a lot of things.
It's funny. That's what
we've had lots of people messaging us lately. Yeah. So it's not slowing down that aspect as of yet.
That's a huge concern. We've still got a couple of snakes to sell. Head bubbles and head T plus dimmies.
Few T plus females.
I think a couple. And only because they're. Started a little bit later, we wanted to get them smashing food a little bit more. So if anyone wants one of them, feel free to box us. But no, I feel exactly the same as you, Eden. I think that a lot of people that keep snakes not a lot of people, maybe a small percentage of them,
yep.
Will now be getting extra money from the government.
Yeah,
after sure. the recent changes.
And not even that, people.
People well, essential services people are probably going to have more coin in their pockets because they work longer hours.
Yeah.
People I mean, we commend them, but at the same time, I think that they're going to have a little bit more money to spend.
Yeah.
And I think that the people that are serious are going to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that, I mean, that's why I'm also happy to do a couple of my out-course pairings, because I just love giving people that nice wheat belt stevie yeah. that I can also say it's genetically beautiful and heavy sure. T-class.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy thing that's going to be happening over yeah, the next 6 months.
Who knows?
What have you done for, like, I know people are saying that you should be stocking for the next 6 months, and, but that's in other industries, but rodent-wise, yeah. We touched on crickets yeah. and woodies well, or paper, like, well, what's the go?
As we all know, like, the adults are switching off now, so I don't have to worry about them so much.
Adult enteresia, you don't keep any other adult anything, do you?
Yeah, no, adult enteresia, I should yeah. have said. They're almost switching off now for the most part, so they won't need to be worried about for a fair few months, and then it's just really the baby stuff, so we'll keep the chest freezer stocked with enough to keep them going for a good...
and hoppers.
Yeah, all that sort of good stuff. Adults
for couples.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm the same as you, mate. You know, stocking up. I've got a couple of girls that I'm going to pump a little bit more into the season.
Yeah, the ones you want to get up for...
Going that little to. Bit extra. But, I mean, for example, tomorrow we're getting an order of butcher's paper in.
Yep.
We're getting almost half a pallet of that stuff, so.
Yeah.
Butcher's paper, you stocked up on paper towel. I mean, we've got a couple of inside people that work at Coles, so we'll get a couple of bits of extra paper towel each week. See, but, yeah, no, it should be fun, mate. I mean, yeah. I'm excited for this. If people like what we've got to say, I mean, it's just a bit of... dribble, you know, just yeah, talking no, dribble.
We'd love to hear what people want to hear from us and any sort of recommendations.
But I mean, if people have questions, send them through.
Yeah.
And any topics, any suggestions.
Topic suggestions. For
this is all new to us. We've seen people do it over the years, and we just thought, you know what, right now people need something to keep them entertained. People need something to learn off, and if we can teach people anything every day... You know, it's funny, actually. Oh, I should probably... Yeah, I should probably save it for another episode, but... This week, actually, I saw one of those T-plus dimmies that feeds perfectly, smash 15-plus feeds.
Yeah, yeah,
now, I
yeah.
sold it to this young girl. I'm not going to name names. She was young, didn't know much about them, asked lots of questions, which is okay. Ended up giving her a snake that was worth a lot more, gave it to her for very cheap because it was her first snake, and, you know, just with all the negativity in the world, thought I'd be a little bit positive and... And she kept going, you know, chucked a full setup in there. Set her up with heating, water, housing, everything, hides, all that.
Whole kit.
Little kit-cats, click-clack setup, and I gave her strict guidelines, you know.
You sure did.
you know, don't touch it for the first week, let it settle in. Give it a feed. If it has a feed, leave it for a couple of days before you handle it, and then even give it another feed before you even play with it.
Yeah.
This Stimmy's 15 plus feeds. He is smashing it. One of the best feeds I have.
Well, when was that born? Probably.
Oh, before Christmas. Yeah. So well established hatchie.
Absolutely.
Feeding every 3 to 4 days as well.
Yeah.
On pinks and fuzzies. And she sends me a message 4 or 5 days later. It's not eating. I said, well, look, have you been playing with it? Her next message, the first sentence was, I have been playing with it, but. So. If anyone has any suggestions with how to deal with buyers like this, I'd really appreciate it. I've tried, like I said, I work in real estate, I deal with people every single day, but snake people or something else, they can be amazing, and they can also be a pain in the ass, but I mean, that's all part of it. So that's my funny rant over. Everyone else was reading about the coronavirus. I thought I'd chuck another rant in there about time wasters and tire kickers.
Yeah, no, you get that.
I'm sure I've done it to one or two people, and I'm sorry, but back in the day. But nah, it's good. If anyone has any suggestions, just let us know. We're going to
try
and get these out weekly. Or
try to make it a weekly sort of thing if we can. If it, we'll see what happens with it. If it lasts what is it? More it's than we expect.
For those who know, it's Tuesday the 30th here, so we're big week ahead of us. We both work split weeks, so... we both get tomorrow off, but other days off other than that. So,
yeah.
Big day cleaning tomorrow, and we'll try and get this up for people to have a listen.
Yeah.
Too easy, mate. I think that'll Cutters for the first step of Unreptiles Radio.
Beautiful. Sounds good.
Too easy, mate. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. We'll speak soon.
Thanks, guys.